Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Half Hour Message. This morning's message, folks, is an interesting message. It comes to me, and I believe this from the Holy Spirit, not by myself, that's for sure. My topic is this: loving them that we do not like, or loving them that those that we don't like. Now, folks, the message is this. It comes from John 13:34. So put your finger on that, John 13:34, John 3:16, and there's some others, and I'll give you those as we go through them. But as always, folks, we have prayers. We have songs that I want to do. So this morning, we're going to start off with Praise Him, and we'll get into the prayers when I come back after the song. That'll give everybody a chance to get ready. It's about 2 minutes long, so give it a little bit of time, folks, and just be patient. Find your place in Scripture. Thank you for being here. God bless you. All right, folks, I'm going to quit that there because I'm having a little bit of a problem with my new computer here. It's so sensitive. You touch it, certain things move, and you can't find them. So before I go any further, I don't want to mess it up. So I'm going to go to our prayer request the best I can from here. let's see if I can do this because my cursor is not being found. Okay. Prayer requests from what I have on Facebook. Let's see. We have request for Gordon Henry. He wants us to pray for him for his foot. He's got what's called club foot, and they want to take it off because he's basically walking on the bone right now. So please pray for Gordon Henry. Robert Sparks is asking for prayer for discernment. Cindy Molina asking for prayer for friends and family of Steve Williams. He's lost the battle with cancer. That was on January 1st. Please, folks, there's a lot of people that are dying from cancer right now and a lot of diseases that are going on, and then the big flu epidemic that's going on across the country. So pray for them. Sue Barnes is asking for prayer for Ann Tolliver Bailey. Ann's husband went missing on the 5th. And it says here, it says, please get prayers going on his behalf. I'm not sure who he is or where he's from, but we should be praying for him. Obviously, something happened. He's disappeared. So if we could, Father, we just ask that you get him home safe, and hopefully, because the temperatures are so cold, that right now you could freeze to death outside. Folks, we have other prayer requests. I want to go over them. These are ones from the beginning of the week until now. Let's see if I can do that, because this screen is such a... so touching. I don't understand why. There we go. Let's try this. Okay. David Ackert is asking for an unspoken request. Him and I were talking a week or so ago, and he mentioned that he needed prayers, and I'm asking for prayers for Dave Ackert. Zena Montana's mom went home to be with the Lord this week. Zena's mom was in the hospital. They had a stent put in her brain to take the blood pressure off, and they couldn't find a way for it to stop. So when they took it out, they were going to send her to hospice. And Zena's been struggling with that, but Zena's a good Christian. I was so shocked the other day. He posted something about David that I didn't even see before. And what it says is that when we die, we're in the hands of the Lord. There's nothing for us to even be concerned about any longer. Yes, we're going to grieve, but we're Christians, and we should put our trust in the Lord. And that brings a light to a lot of what goes on in this world. There's a lot that we don't understand about God, but God does. And Zena's mom's home with the Lord, and Zena was felt so good about that this week. You could see it in her writings that she's finally got comfortable with the fact that mom's okay where she is, and it won't be long that she'll get to meet her mother someday. Catherine Pinkham's dad was moved to long-term residential care. He's ill and very ill himself. Jim Bailey, this past week, Jim Bailey posted a message that said that his niece was found. She passed away. They found his niece on the floor of her house, inside her house. And I never did find out any more about that, but please pray for Jim, for Jim's family, for his niece's mother and father, and for the rest of the family, Lord. And Tara's son is real sick. Tara's son's got the flu of some kind. It's been going through the family, and they've all been dealing with it. Rebecca Estrada was having a problem, not feeling well this past week. And pray for her family, Lord, that they find a good church, because they were going to a church, and the church isn't growing. There's a lot of stagnant issues going on with the church, and for some reason they're not doing as well as they could be doing. But Rebecca was running the children's program, and there wasn't anyone coming. So it's become a real burden on her heart and on her family's heart, and they just don't feel as welcome or as good or as needed in that church. So please help Rebecca and her family find a good church to go to. Because, you know, Lord, we really want Becky and the rest of her family in church, and we should all be in church. We should be listening to the gospel constantly. Becky also asked this past week for Heather Licio Gilbert. She's been in the hospital since sometime around Christmas with real bad cancer, and she's not healing well from the treatments. So please pray for her. And Sandy Washer's asking for prayer. I saw this morning. It said, prayers, please, for Bob and his family as he struggles with pancreatic cancer. This stuff is unbelievable. It's taken over the world with all this sickness and disease, which is a friend of Sandy's, which I believe is Betty, is the daughter to the pastor of Sandy's church. Betty has pneumonia, so if you'll please pray for healing for Betty. And Patty G, she's sick. Brenda is recovering from pneumonia. There's a lot of these people are getting sick, pneumonia and flus. And Brenda's mom with lung cancer. Richard R. overall health as he's aging. This is Richard. We prayed for Richard before. Richard in his pain and his knee recovery. Sandy says, thank you very much. Tammy Sunshine Sharp is very ill and needs prayer. That comes from another friend on another page. Wendy Lance Baker went into the hospital this past week, and she suffered from a heart attack. So Wendy had a stent put in this past week, and if I'm not wrong, she went home either Friday or Saturday to rest and get better. So things starting to look better for her as well. Father, we're asking for prayer for all of these things, and I know it's a long list, folks, to remember. But if you want to pray over those people, you can come find me over on Preacher, William Preacher Bill Barnes on Facebook, and I'll give you the whole list, okay? Now, I think it's important for us as brothers and sisters to pray for them. We should never neglect prayer, folks. God's always, and I mean this, always willing to listen to anything we want to talk to him about. It doesn't matter how minute we think it is or how busy we think God is. God is never too busy to listen to his children. He wants to talk with you. He wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with you in all your problems. He wants you to be able to come to him always. So, Father, we're asking that you build us up and strengthen us and help us to pray for the sick, pray for those that have passed, pray for their families, and pray for all of those that we've asked for, folks, and not just those. Let's pray for our preachers. Let's pray for our ministers, our pastors, their families, their friends, our families, and most of all, let us not forget ourselves in all of this. We need to be able to ask for prayers for ourselves as well as we always ask for others. Don't neglect your own needs, folks. God's always willing to help you and give you what you need when you need it. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to share them prayers with you. And if you would, Father, please lift us up in the message this morning. Our message this morning is going to come from, like I said in the beginning, it's going to come out of the book of John, 13:34. Bear with me, folks. Because like I said, this new computer is something else. It's so touchy that if I hit the screen or move the wrong way, things get shifted. So I'm going to read from John 13:34. Because I want you to see this and understand this. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Father, I thank you for that verse. It woke me up to something I didn't even, it just didn't even faze me how important that verse is in life. Folks, what God's saying here, and these are Jesus' words. These are letters written in red. And when you find letters written in red in a Bible, that means Jesus said these words himself. It said, a new commandment. We're Christians. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're listening to me right now, you came here to hear the word of God, and there's the word right there in front of you. And that word says this, a new commandment. This is from Jesus Christ. I give unto you. He's commanding you to love one another. I didn't look at it that way. I always looked at, yeah, love one another, love, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin. You know that comment, right? Well, that's really not a Bible comment, but it has this meaning. We're to love everyone. It doesn't matter if they're a murderer. It doesn't matter if they took the life of your child. It doesn't matter if they raped your daughter or your wife. It doesn't matter if they molested you when you were a child. It doesn't matter what they did. We're to love them. I didn't understand it, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Jesus said at one point in his walk on this planet, that I have to go away to prepare a place for you. That place is in heaven. If you're a Christian, you want to go to heaven, then you follow the commandments of God. We know that Jesus meant it because he said it. He wouldn't have put it in red. It would not be in Scripture that his word was said, you make sure you tell the people, I said this. Now, I'm not real fond of a lot of things that go on in this world. I'm not real fond of the gay, lesbian, transgender. I don't know my sex movement. I'm not real fond of the way the government's operating. I'm not real fond of these people that are pedophiles. I'm not real fond of rapists. And if you're a Christian, you don't like that stuff either. But you know one thing we don't have? We don't have the ability that God has to love at the same level and hate at the same level the sin that people have. Our human flesh wants us to hate more than it wants us to love. It's almost natural because the natural man wants to sin. And if you don't like someone, if you hate what they do, then you sin. You understand where I'm coming from? Listen to what I'm saying. He said, I give you a commandment, he says, to love one another as I have loved you. What does that mean? It means this, folks. This is what I get from the Holy Spirit. As filthy, rotten, unrighteous sinner that I am, because none are righteous, no, not one, the Bible tells us. That means none of us are worthy to get to heaven. It doesn't matter if you lied to your parents about taking a cookie out of the cookie jar, or it doesn't matter if you raped somebody, or if you murdered them, or if you're a pedophile, or a gay, or a lesbian. A sin is a sin, because God does not hold any sin any different than any other. We're unclean. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot get to heaven, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he shed his blood for your sins. He was saying, I give you a new commandment. I want you to do this for me. If you trust me, if you have faith in me, then have faith in this. Love them, even if you don't like them. You need to stop doing this, folks. I know, because I'm just as guilty. There was something in this world that said to me, or I should say there was if you want to call it a premonition or a promise from God, something said to me last year, the new year coming is going to be a really new year for you, Preacher Bill. It's going to be a year like no other. You're going to change. You're going to do something different than you've never done before. And I think the Lord is touching my heart, and I really do believe the Holy Spirit has touched me. I believe that he's working in my heart. I hope he's working in yours. I hope he's given you the strength, because he said, I give you a new commandment to love one another. I have not, in all my life, liked people that are gay. I have not liked the murderer or the rapist. In fact, I used to want to, the things I want to do to people that do that, or the ones that harm animals, is unbelievable, the hatred that runs through my brain. If you're honest with yourself, you'll admit that you have that kind of hatred. If you're honest, you'll understand what I'm saying about the human nature, the natural man, and the spiritual man. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you want to be the spiritual man. Am I right? Amen? If you're a natural man and all you want to do is hate the things of this world and think you're better than them because you're a Christian and you read your Bible and you know the truth and you want to be a good man or a good woman or a good child, you want to be a good student of Jesus Christ because you want to hate what goes on in the world, well, then do this. Lead the hate to Jesus Christ and God. He says, I give you this commandment to love one another. I didn't give it to you for anything else. Now let's look at John 3:16. This is one. This is a verse everybody knows, or I should say most Christians know, right? Most of them will say this. They'll say, oh, yeah, I know that verse, or I remember that verse. In fact, most of us were taught it when we were children in church. It says in verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Now look, God sent his Son into the world. This is in verse 17. To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God doesn't want any of us to go to hell. That's a choice we make ourselves. He said, listen, there are people that will walk right into the fire, but you're there to pull them back. You think about that, a fireman standing at a home, the house is on fire, there's people dying inside. Somebody tries to run in to save them. It's too late to get in there to get them, right? Somebody wants to get in to get them. Well, that's what Jesus wants to do for you. He wants to pull you from the fire. He wants a good Christian, someone that shares the gospel with you, to pull you from the danger before you're consumed by the flames and die. Now, if we go back and we look at verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world, folks, he loved everyone on this planet, everything on this planet, because he created everything on this planet. That means the gays, the lesbians, the murderers, the rapists, the pedophiles, the liars, the cheats, the adulterers, and so on and so forth, the drunkards and the abusers and the bruisers and the battlers and the fighters and the revilers, all of them. That's why he sent Jesus Christ, the only one that could be the atonement for our sins. The only one that could shed the best blood, the purest of blood for our sins, to make us clean, to give us that sanctification, the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, that we could get to heaven. But we can't have that if we don't accept Jesus Christ. You see, if you're in that fire, like I said, with the fireman standing there wants to get in to help you, if he's calling out to you to come to the window and you're staying hiding in there in the flame saying, I'm not going to do it, I don't want to, then how can he save you? If you can't be saved, that's your own doing. You can be saved. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. And that's written in the scriptures. It says, believe in me, folks. Now let's look at Romans 5, 8 through 11. Because that's our next one. We're going to go to Romans 5, verses 8 through 11. Romans 5, 8 through 11 says this. It says, Romans 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I want to park there for a second. Because it says this, while we were yet sinners, that means while we were still sinning, that means as filthy as we are, Christ still gave his life up for you, for me, for anyone that was a sinner. That means our past sins, our present sins, the sins we commit right now, the sins of not wanting to do what God asked us to do. He says, love those gay people. Love that rapist. Love that adulterer. Love that cheating spouse. Love those children that disobey you. He says, you know what? Heap coals of kindness on their heads. Why does he say to do that? He says, listen, if they hunger, feed them. If they need help, give it to them. If they're lost, preach to them. If you don't share the gospel, they'll never hear it. Responsibility is it, folks. It's yours. I'm telling you, the Lord has given me a vision this in the last couple of weeks to do what he asked me to do. And if it means I have to go without everything I own and live in the cold as a homeless man, I'll still be able to share the gospel. That's what he says I want you to do. Humble yourself, Preacher Bill, and do what I tell you to do. Humble yourself, you Christians out there that are listening, and do what God asks you to do. He says you cannot love me, and you cannot say that you know me if you don't love. Now, there are people that they'll misinterpret that. They'll think that it's okay to be a sinner. It's not. But it does not mean that we don't love them, even though they're a non-believer and a sinner. Now, let's go further on. It says in verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, that means we are, that means us, the ones that have turned to Christ, we're justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, which means sinners, which were non-believers, which would not hear the gospel, which would not show love to the lost, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received what? The atonement. That means the atonement is we have been saved because he paid the price for us. He paid the penalty, the fine, if you will, or the sentencing of death so that we could be saved. Isn't that a good thing? You can't win your way to heaven, folks. I don't care how many people you love. I don't care how much good work you do. God knows your heart. He knows what you're doing. He knows why you're doing it. But if you do it out of faith, if you do it because he said so, and not for something, some gain of your own, then he's going to say, listen, you're a child of mine. I want you to come to heaven. You're a good student of mine. Come to heaven. You know, I'm not sure I'll get through the message today. I'm hoping for it. Let's go to Romans 12. We're going to start in verse 2. I've got two more that I've got to go through, and this is hopefully I can get through it. I always worry, folks, a half an hour is never enough time to give you the truth of gospel. God is so good, he wants us to hear it all, not just part of it. And we shouldn't be watching clocks and paying attention anyways. We should be sitting listening to the word of God. 12:2 says this, and be conformed, and be not conformed, rather. That means do not go along with, and do not follow. It says, be not conformed to this world. This world wants us to hate. Look at the people that hate one another. They're racist. They hate the guy that's a cheater. They want to kill the guy that's a murderer. The dog guy, the guy that beat a poor defenseless dog and taped its mouth and so on and so forth. We see those pictures, folks. The ones that molest little children or rape women or rob from one another. We want to sentence them to death. We want to take them out back behind the barn and beat them till they're bloody pulp. But God says, don't be conformed to this world. He says, I'm asking you to do what I'm asking you to do. Don't do what your heart wants to do. Don't do what the world wants you to do. Change that wicked way and start not conforming to the world and do as I tell you to. He says, by the renewing of your mind, in verse 2, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise God. Because when you're a new creature, you're supposed to have a renewed mind. You're supposed to change. And that's what I believe God tried to say to me this past month. You're a creature of mine. I don't want you walking around talking filth like that. You're not supposed to dislike anybody. You're supposed to love them all and treat them fairly. Oh, yes, I know. I'm going to do things in my life that aren't going to be suiting to others. I know there's going to be times where I'm going to be upset and probably dislike somebody so much that I will hate them. That's right. But let me tell you this. When that happens, I want the Holy Spirit to remind me so that I will pray and ask for forgiveness and then apologize for being such a fool. Now let's look over here in 13 and 14. Verse 13 and 14 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, that means he, Jesus, has, given to the hospitality, that means us given to others, that means we're supposed to, because we're supposed to be good Christians, we should be blessing them, it says in verse 14, with which persecute you, bless and curse not. What did I just say? When someone does wrong to me, we are supposed to be doing this. It says in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints. That means we're supposed to be, even though they're sinners, just like we were, just like we still are. Jesus saved us when we were in our filth and in such unrighteousness. Because all are sinners, none are righteous. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And you know something? God says, listen, give you my son. He died on the cross. All I'm asking you to do is accept him and let the Holy Spirit work in you and guide you and change you. And he will do that if you just accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God and leave it right there. The Holy Spirit works in you. It may take time. He says, be patient. Even in your troubles, continuing instant in prayer. That means pray over those troubles. Pray over the things that are going on and it's wrong in your life. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. He says in verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Don't curse those sinners. Bless them. Tell them that they are loved by God, that they can change. They don't have to live that life. I don't like alcoholics. I don't like smokers. I'm not even fond of people that smoke pot for medical purposes. But that's their choices, folks. I still love them. I don't like the abusers. And I was one myself. What does it say? Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. And I've almost tried to compare to Paul in my life, being just like him as Saul, being a hater of people and abusing people to an end that you could not even imagine, folks, my growing up. But God was so good that he loved me and he gave me his son and he let him die for me. Verse 17 to 21, and we are running out of time. But he says in verse 17 to 21, like I said, I wish I could have a better time for you, folks. I just don't have it. 12, 17. Here we go. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of man. That means don't be being punishing others just because you can. If it be possible, as much as liveth in you, live what? And dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath, unto wrath, but rather give no place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The last one, and that's first John 4, and I'll tell you what, if we lose it here, folks, just stick with me. Go find it in archives, because it'll be there, folks. The rest of this is going to be there in archives. In 1 John 4, it says this in 7 and 8. Well, I'm telling you, this is amazing how I lose out on time. Love, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth. You see, you cannot know God if you don't know love. He that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, we've just clicked off air, and it's going to go into archives. So I'm going to stay with this right where I am. And then verse 11, it says this. Beloved, if God so loved us, we are also to love one another. Praise God. Thank you for letting me share that with you folks. I will be back again next week. You can find me at William Preacher Bill Barnes. Thank you for coming out and listening. If you want to find me, like I said, go to Preacher William Bill Barnes, and you'll find me over there. William Preacher Bill Barnes on Facebook, folks. Thank you for coming out. God bless you, and talk to you soon.